miss that. So beautiful. You know, sometimes in our most organized moments, God gives us the most beautiful picture. And I tell you, I would not want to be in Miss Vicky them shoes of having to organize praise. But yet, this morning, it was so beautiful. The outpouring of it, I know God was pleased. And to be honest with you, I've been struggling all week on how to put together a Thanksgiving message. And even now, I'm sitting there, I'm going, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? But as they began to sing, the Holy Spirit began to unfold what He wants me to do this morning. And I said, okay, Lord, that's what we're going to do. How long has it been since man has been thankful to God? How long? One of the things that the Spirit was showing me this morning, that even though the nations of the world didn't know the God of Abraham, didn't know the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, yet they knew God exists. May not know Him by the same name and may not have known Him by the same fashion, but they were looking for a God. So man has always had it as a part of his being to search out God. Some the wrong way, some the right way. But those that seek God with their true heart, He says, they will do what? Find Him. So based upon those thoughts, as the Spirit began to lay out the message for me this morning, He said, what I want you to do, son, I want you to take Him back. And in my heart, I'm thinking, how far back? He said, way back. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to go way back. And we're going to thank God. As the Holy Ghost unfold this picture of Thanksgiving for us today. How it comes, I don't know. But you better be ready. Amen? Because this is what faith is all about, is being disposed to the movement of God when you don't know what He's going to do. I'm there right now. I feel so vulnerable and so helpless, Miss Vicky. But I know He's going to do it. I know He's going to do it. Because this is not my word. This is His. So I must follow His lead. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus. Lord, for the first time in my life, I actually have childlike faith. I got to trust You, Lord. I don't know what You're going to do right now. I'm so scared. I'm stepping out on faith, Lord. And I know people around the world who's going to listen to this message going to say, what? The pastor didn't prepare a message? Yeah, I did. But the pieces wouldn't come together. So I'm trusting You, Lord, now to bring forth this message as You have laid it on my heart. I'm going to move out the way, Holy Spirit, so that You can speak to these, Your children. Have Your way, Lord Jesus, for we belong to You. And You promise us where two or more gathered in Your name, there You would be in the midst. We know that You're here. And we know, Father, that You're reigning on high, but yet You're sitting low this morning. You're in our presence. Please be glorified with all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. No one could understand what was about to be said because no one existed except God and His heavenly host. The only thing as we know it now, as we look at verse 25, we're going to get a very powerful, powerful look at what God is doing. At the end of creation as we know it, as you look around you, imagine now that this world has no humans, but everything else exists. Everything. Imagine living in a place that's unpolluted. The air is pure. The land is clean, Clinton. The rivers are fresh and running. No pollutants whatsoever. No contaminants in the water. The sky is clear. The birds of the air. Everything is absolutely docile and friendly and in harmonious, you know, harmony with itself. Because that's where God made it. And so if we look at verse 25, we see here, look with me closely, and God made the beasts of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
Good. That was the last thing that God had created that wasn't us. And therefore, what you have to value and what you have to appreciate today is that the next step that takes place. Because as we look at the other subsequent steps of creation, those other days, as we go back, starting at verse 2 and come forward to verse 25, and it says, and God said, God said, God said, God said, right? And it did what? And it happened. It appeared. Things just popped up all over the place. Okay? Synchronized in perfect harmony in perfect place by God. And now, yet there is one thing missing. Man. And not only is man missing, but God is about to do something that he didn't do with any other part of creation. And this is why we have to take the time and say, Lord, thank you. Okay? Because we got to get there. Understand? That's why the Holy Ghost said, take them back. How far back? All the way back. Okay? And so, how much time had elapsed, Tamar, between verse 25 and verse 26? No one knows. Some seem to think the earth and everything in it was created in six literal 24-hour days. I'm not so sure about that anymore. Because now God has stopped with the work of creation. He put it on hold temporarily. Did you see this? Watch, and you'll see it. In verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me God stopped and had a meeting? Now, as we come forward from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we see God is marching, right? I mean, things are happening. This great universe as we know it is unfolding out of the mouth of God. Bam, bam, light, darkness, sky, space, water, you name it. I mean, God is doing it by the numbers, right? And all of a sudden, it gets to us. God stopped creation. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. God stopped creation and sat down and had a meeting. Do you understand? He didn't do that for the cow. If you're from India, you would be worshiping a cow. Cows are respected and revered just like humans are. Rats are the same way. That's why they have an infestation. Really bad. Okay? But when you get there, and you evolutionists, God didn't do this for the monkey or the ape. Okay? They're out there in the jungle playing somewhere right now. At this point in creation, they're out there hanging from a tree somewhere, eating a banana, eating something. Okay? But now God has put the brakes on creation. He's now talking to somebody else in heaven. He said, let us what? Let us. I mean, we got to do something here. Because the next part of this, the final touches on it, is going to be better than the first. Why? Because they're going to be just like us. Come on. And that's something to be thankful for. If you ever want to thank God for something, think that he made us in his what?
Image.
In his image. Now, like I told you, he didn't do that to a monkey. He didn't do that to a snake or the alligator. Okay? He did it to you, and he did it to me. So when you're feeling bad, when somebody calls you fat and ugly, or skinny and ugly, you know how kids are. You know how some folks are. And guys, you know how you like to look for folks that years ago, the Commodores came out with a song called She's a Brick? House, okay? All right? 36, 24, what? 36. I still remember. I was a teenage boy like RV and walking around singing a song. And you know what? That's what guys were looking for. And what it did, it put the other ladies on what? On hold, put them on the outside. So everybody was looking for this woman, 36, 24, 36. I don't know why I'm preaching this like this, but God never does that with us. God took his entire creation of the human species and put you and I on the same page, put us all on the same playing field, made us all in the exact image of him. Black, white, yellow, brown, fat, skinny, bald headed, long hair, you name it. All on the same page in his image.
Amen.
Even the rascals out there shooting and killing up people right now, ISIS, all were made in the image of God. Come on. And so, as we look back, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. In that, one thing God did not do for you and I, he did not say, let's make him God like us. But everything else, he said, let's make him what? In our image, in our likeness. That means you take on the character of God. You take on the beautiful spirit of God. That's how Adam and Eve, when God first created them, they instantaneously were in love with each other. They were in great harmony with each other and the rest of creation. Because that's the way God set it up. There were no venomous animals or snakes or spiders. Animals was not ferocious and going after to eat your liver. Think about it. When God told Adam to name all the animals and stuff, they all came to him. Why? Because God placed the fear in the animals of man. And that word fear, not only to fear, but to respect and to be docile and to kneel down and allow man to do whatever he had to do with them without ever being in danger. He didn't give an animal. Did you notice he didn't make monkey in charge of you? Huh? He didn't put cheetah in charge of you. Or a silverback like me. No, I'm not a silverback. I just throw that there. Okay? He didn't make you like that. He said, let man have what? Dominion. Why? Because God has dominion in heaven and over all of his creation. So he gave us a little bit part of a creation and said, okay, not only in my image and my likeness, but I'm going to give you power and authority just like me. Amen. Huh? Has he taken that away? No. So going back, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. You ever wonder why a man can go to sea and it can come back with the largest sea creature and not die? Have you dominion? You ever notice man can go and catch polar bears and bring them back and put them in a zoo? Dominion. Now, you got that by yourself, you might get eaten. Okay? But look at it. Apes, gorillas, orangutans, rattlesnakes. Man, take rattlesnake and milk them. You ever watch that? Big old jokers. And I'm going, where's my shotgun? Okay? I'm not milking a rattlesnake. Oh, they'll get out there and hit the head of a cobra, which the Bible calls a viper. Nothing happens. And a viper is definitely ferocious. He'll lunge at you.
Or the babies that are
surrounded. Yeah, the babies play with him. And so, why? Dominion. Dominion. And yet, we want to put trees and monkeys on the same playing level as humans. We want to put a dog and a cat on the same playing level as a human. Now, in some countries, if you kill an animal, you get the same license as if you killed a human. Wow. I go to show you how stupid we can get. Pardon the expression, but yes. And so God, in this beginning, goes back and he tells you and I that not only did he make us in his likeness, but he gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. Now, there's some pretty nasty birds up there, boy. Huh? We see them all the time on that water tank.
He's scared of them. He thinks they're going
to get them. Big old vultures.
Yeah.
I mean, them jokers are huge.
Yeah.
And yet, what did man do? How many have ever been to Silver Springs? Have you seen them put on that glove and the falcon comes and does what? Right there. Or an eagle come and does what? Right there. A bald eagle, the biggest of all and strongest. Right there. Why? Dominion. You want to be thankful for something? We have forgotten what God has done for us. God hasn't taken that away. We lost it. Temporarily. And so he goes on to tell you and I that over the birds of the air and over the cattle. Now, I used to work on a farm as a teenager. When I was Vernon's age, in Harvey's age, I used to work on a farm on Archer Road. And whenever calves were born, we used to take them right then. If they were male, we'll put this little rubber thing around their you-know-whats. So that they'll grow up to be tender and then take them to market. And y'all like the thing called steak and ground beef. Okay? Put the little tags through their ears so we know, you know, what the numbers, so we can track them. But there was we had two kinds. We had the Bremer Bull and we had the Black English. The Bremer was nasty. Yeah, with the hump. That sucker with that big army. Wait, a ton. And boy, was he mean and nasty. He would hit the truck and pick the back of the truck up off the ground.
Yeah.
Imagine if that hit you. Then there was the big black one. I mean, his coat was so black it would look blue. And I always come up and pat him and say, hey, how you doing, buddy? And he was so easy to get along well. But don't let that Bremer see you. Oh, my goodness, you'd be running for your life. But you know what? Even with that, God said, I have given you dominion over who? Over the Bremer. That's why his butt's in the cage, otherwise the fenced area. And you're controlling him, and he's not controlling who? You. But we have lost that sense of what God has done. We have a lot to be thankful for. That's what the Holy Spirit wanted you and I to know, that go back and see where God has brought us from. Because we have forgotten it. Every day we never think about what God has given us. Not only what he's given us, but what God has done for us by saying, let us make man in our image, in the image of God himself. Amen. Do you understand what that's all about? Let me tell you something. It's not said that of Gabriel, that great angel that went to Mary. Think about Gabriel. Let me give you a little lesson about Gabriel. Several hundred years before he went to Mary, he was delivering a message from heaven on the behalf of God, going to one little brother named Daniel, who was in captivity in a place called Babylon. And when he came into the atmosphere, into the second heavens, he was jumped on. He was jumped on by demon spirits, ferocious demons, principalities. The prince of Persia and his entourage jumped on him. And this angel battled those demons for 21 days. He battled. He tried his best to get the message to Daniel. And the battle was so great and so fierce that this angel had to shout out and give the battle cry for help. And in a moment notice, in a twinkling of an eye, guess who showed up?
Michael.
God's archangel. Woo-hoo! Glory to God! God's archangel heard the battle cry from his brother and showed up. And let me tell you, when Michael showed up, the table turned. And it tells you in Daniel chapter 10, he said, only one came to my assistance was Michael, your prince. Huh? Hello. Those angels, as awesome as they are not made in the image of God. And none of us can battle Michael, not let alone Gabriel. Amen. But yet, those two glorious beings who love God with all their hearts. You think about what Gabriel told John the Baptist's dad in the temple. When he began to doubt, do you remember the statement that he made? And it always gave me goosebumps to repeat it. He said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Woo-hoo! Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. That this angel said, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't know who have been sent to you and who sent me. Even that great angel is not made in the image of God. Do you hear me? And that's why the Apostle Paul would later write, and you can see it in Ephesians, he said, angels desire to look into why God loves us so much. Say, angels look into those things. They are watching how God interacts with you and how we interact with him. And they are looking. Because they don't have a mind to conceive those things like you and me. They're automatic, like they're almost like automatic robots. They have no idea about relational things with God. All they know is they're warriors and they're messenger. Whatever God says, they do it. Without even thinking about it. They go and they do. And God says, I want you to watch over my babies. Guess what they do? And watch. That's why Lord Jesus said, Jesus himself said this to you and I. He said, watch what you do with these children. Because the angel always stand before God. So that means every one of these babies can have an angel wherever they go. And whenever you do something to that baby that's not right, the angel's right there to God saying, he did it. Amen. She did it, Master. We know she did it. And here's the picture. Oh, boy, they had 3D long before we did. Amen. And so, but yet, these heavenly warriors have nothing in comparison to what we have. Are you understanding me? So that means if God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, that means those angels have to do something for us. Now, I want to take you to a place that you seldom go. I want you to go to Psalms 8. And take a look at this beautiful psalm. Okay? Because the Lord has taken us back by the Holy Ghost and his word of what life is like. Okay? And we're going back to Genesis in just a moment. Look what David says as he give God the glory. Watch what he does. Oh Lord, our Lord. Now, there's a language there that you need to understand. One is in all caps and the other one isn't, right? You know what he just said? Yahweh, you are our master. So he said, Yahweh, master. Look at it again. Yahweh, our master. And see, we in America, we don't want to call people master. But this king is. How excellent is your name in all the what? All the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens. That's what you had us singing today, didn't you not, Miss Vicky? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. One translation says, you have perfected praise. Okay? Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I considered your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? Other words, David called God, I can't believe you would love us like this. That you would take the time and come down and visit us. And that you would care about us like this, God. You, when I look up in the heavens and see that great sky up there with all the stars, with the moon and the sun, and yet you care about a little bit of us. That's what he's saying. I mean, you want to talk about a great psalm of praise when you consider what he's measuring us well. He's putting us up against space. And when you think about it, space is enormous. And David called, you made all of that? And yet, a little bit of us, when you put us against one in the galaxy, just one star alone, you can't even see us. We do not exist. Do you know that? If they put one star next to us, our planet, we do not exist.
So big the star.
That's just how big the stars are in comparison to us. And yet David said, when I look and consider all of that, Lord, yet what is man that you're mindful of him? I mean, he said, it's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to get a hold of that, God. Then he goes on and tell you and I, and the son of man that you visit him. How many times have God come down to earth and see what's going on? The psalmist said, Lord, I cried unto you and you heard my cry, and you bent the heavens, and you came down, Lord, and look at my enemies, and you vanquished them. Wow. He said, God, the Lord is on my side. What shall I fear? Huh? Whom shall I fear? Psalms 118, he tells you and I, it's best to place our confidence in God than to place our confidence in who? In man.
Amen.
You choose which one going to be on the winning side. Amen. And it says that in that Psalms over and over again. Okay? So if we continue to look on here, it said, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. However, now watch this. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. Did it say he had crowned the angels with glory and honor? You have made him to have what? Come on, somebody. Have what? You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. What angels do you see God say, okay, you're in charge of the earth? Huh? What? Where at? Did he tell it to Lucifer? No. That's why I was surprised to learn that Adam and Eve had so much power, they didn't know how much power they had. So when the serpent came and began to deceive Eve, all Eve had to say, get thee behind me. And that would have been it. Why? Even the psalmist have said that God had given dominion to man over the work of his hand. And the serpent was the work of God's what? Hand. So all she had to say was, get thee behind me, you slicky boy. Get away from me. And it would have happened. Because God had given man that authority. Do you see it in the scriptures? And so, you have put all things under his feet. Look at this now. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Is he not reinstating what God had said in Genesis 1:26?
Yes.
So I said, listen, we are in control, people. Why? Because our God, who is God, who were made in his image, in his likeness, have given us this control. And we don't even use it. You want to show the Lord that you're thankful for this? Start using it. Amen?
Amen.
Start using it. Now, as he closes out this psalm, look at it. O Lord, or O Yahweh, our what?
Lord.
Master. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Isn't that giving thanks? Mm. That's a heart of gratitude, isn't it? And that's what God wants us to have. And this time of year, especially as we have set aside a special day for Thanksgiving, we should be honoring God. Mm-hmm. Not running away from him, not disdaining him, not being very, a fancy way to say it, being repugnant towards God. That means you got a nasty attitude. We shouldn't be that way to him. Okay? Because he did not have to make you and I in his image. He didn't have to say to his son, Jesus, he didn't have to say to the Holy Ghost, let us make man in our image. He didn't have to do that. Okay? Back to Genesis. Oh, you didn't know you were going to be bouncing today, did you? So, back to Genesis 1, 26. So as we look at this, what did God do after he made the statement? What did God do? In verse 27, it tells you and I, so God created man in his own image. So not only did he have the meeting there, Chrissy, he turned around and did what? He did it. He performed it. He brought it to pass. And I imagine the angel was looking up. Whoa, what is he doing? Wow, look at that. Whoa, he blowing in the dirt. Look, look. Just a little bit of theatric from Sammy Nelson there. And so, look at it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Now, folks, the next phrase of this discounts all racial and discrimination towards women. It kicks it out the door. What did he say next? Come on.
Male and female.
Male and female, he created them. Equal playing field. The only thing that God puts to the top is the leadership of the man. But he did not say one is better than the other. He did not say that. He gave us different roles, and those roles were equally respected. And what has happened, we're living in a society that they try to leapfrog one over the other. Or they'll try to cause war. Look at the commercials on television. They always got the genders fighting. Always trying to show one is more superior in this, one more superior in that. That's foolishness. That didn't come from God. That come from man. That's the works of the enemy. Right. What happened there? It says that God made us in his own image. In the image of God, he made us. And he made us male and females. Why? Well, the next answer is going to refute that other thing that's hanging out there. Same-sex marriage. What does it say? Be fruitful and what?
Increase
and multiply. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can two women have a baby?
No.
Can two men have a baby?
No.
So how are you going to be fruitful and multiply? And by the way, the way that's written, it's an imperative tense. You know what imperative means? It's a command. See, I didn't read the blessing part that God had gave us. I went to the part to let you know that God said, be fruitful and multiply, male and female.
We just had a man become woman of the year.
Now, want something to be thankful about? How can two women multiply? What's going to happen is you're going to become extinct.
That's right.
How can two males multiply? You're going to end up dying out.
Right.
For those of us that are going to follow the word of God, our generations are going to keep going. But you all want to keep living like that. After a while, when they bury you, it won't be any more of you.
Yeah.
Okay? Unless somebody lie to the rest of them and they want to become like you. But you cannot produce yourself. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Want to be thankful about something? Thank you, Lord. You allowed the human race to continue. Yeah. Male and female.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Good. So not only did God says, I'm going to make you in my image, in my likeness, but I want you to have babies too. And I want your generations, I want your descendants, I want your family tree to keep going forever. It is to be perpetual. Generation after generation after generation after generation without ceasing. But man, just like everything else, anytime he puts his hand in, he muck things up. Okay? That's not the way Lord Jesus planned this. There was a planning that took place in heaven. A grand council meeting from God himself. God was the chief chairman, sitting there in that divine meeting about you and me. And they decided what we were going to be like. And they decided how we were going to be paired up, male and female. And they decided that they wanted us to have offsprings and to keep going. If you go back, you see, he said, and he blessed them. What's the opposite of bless? If you go against the natural order here, you lose the blessing. Hello. I told y'all I didn't know where this message was coming from. But the Holy Ghost was the one saying, take them back. Way back. And so, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue. What does that mean? Dominion. Why does that keep popping up in there? You think maybe God meant it? And then it goes on and it says, have what? There it is again. Over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. And over every living thing that moves on the earth. We're never supposed to be the inferior species on earth. We're supposed to be the superior species. And we're supposed to be the dominant one. Because we are in charge. God said so. And folks, you can take this same thing and take it to your home. Nothing else is supposed to be in charge of your home. What I'm talking about, no demon spirit is supposed to be in there running your house. You are supposed to be running your house. Amen?
Amen.
That's a lot to be thankful for, because folks don't realize there's some stuff out there, up there, and down there, that want to attack you over there. Okay? But Lord Jesus had already fixed that. And by the way, hello. By the way, when this happened, demons already existed.
Right.
Hello. Just in case you didn't know that. So how you think in the garden, if we're going here in a minute, he showed up. The chief demon himself showed up. And we don't know how long it had been since God had booted his butt out of heaven. You got a lot to be thankful for. We have really got to take to heart what Father has given us. Lord God and Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit has really looked out for us. Hadn't they? They've done a marvelous job for us. And I'm telling you, they really laid it out. You know, when an architect goes to design a building, he looks at every parameter of it. And he looks at the soil and the type of soil that will be stronger enough. Whether that soil has to be reinforced. Okay? He looks at the entire picture, every little minute detail about that structure to make sure it is a solid standing structure. Am I right?
Right.
Are we in a different? Do you think maybe God made a mistake somewhere?
Nope.
Oh, you mean God didn't make a mistake? Lord Jesus did not goof up? Because he was playing horses with the Holy Spirit and he missed something?
No.
No. God is too wise to make a mistake. Hello, somebody. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And God knew that the moments of your life would be exactly what they are today. God didn't make a mistake. Okay? And he knew how you would respond to certain situations. And God put parameters in place for you and for me. And the greatest parameter that God has put in place for you and I is called grace. Huh? And the Lord Jesus Christ, as John records in chapter 1, he said Moses came with the law, but Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. Okay? That meant God had to, let's see, how should I say that? God had to continually to protect us.
Yeah.
Are you getting that, Clinton? That means that human foolishness will continue to abound, and God knew that. God knew that you and I needed a Savior. Okay? Now, jump on over to chapter 2 and look at verse 7. Okay? God knew every detail of human history. That's why I tell y'all, don't buy into this thing called prehistoric. There's never anything that pre-history. Are you dumb, humans, to say prehistory? If you want to go that way, you better be at that meeting in Genesis 1:26. Hello, somebody. Uh-huh. You better be God or the Holy Ghost or Jesus talking there. Okay? Now, as we're looking at this, guess what's happening, Clinton? Guess what's happening? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Miss Vicky, did it say God created Gabriel from the dust of the ground? Or Michael? Or Satan? Or maybe one of the stars? No. You know, by the way, God didn't tell us how he created the angels, did he? Or when he created them. But look what he does here. He spoke something. We don't know for sure how he did the earth, do we? Because the Bible tells you and I that this earth was hanging out there. Right? But God spoke, and the stars and the sun and the moon came forth. And then he spoke and everything else came into existence, yes? But it doesn't tell us what happened with the earth. Did you notice that? All it tells us is that the Holy Ghost was, he was hovering over the face of the deep, yes? And then God spoke and the Holy Ghost went to work. And things happened. But now we're at the juncture of where God is looking at dirt. And some folks said, boy, it had to be some pretty good looking dirt, because look at me. God took something that's nasty and made you. Okay? We wipe it off. We don't want it even in our house. We do this at the doormat. Huh? That's what you were before God did something with you. Hello, somebody. Amen? And so, here, look at the beauty of this. And God formed, that means God fashioned, God made, God did something with his hands. Which of the animals did God actually did something with his hands? I mean, we really got a lot to be thankful for, that the Almighty himself, not only did he determine that he was going to create you and I, but he decided that he will personally do it with his own hands. Wow. And he fashioned us into exactly what he wanted us to look like. Huh? And then not only did he fashion us into exactly what he wanted us to look like, but he did something that he didn't do with the buffalo. He breathed. Hello. He breathed into that dust. He put his spirit, he put his DNA into us. And that's why, because the breath of life is in man, God said, you know I exist. That's why King David says in Psalms 14, verse 1, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I mean, he has to convince himself. Why? Because through his innate abilities and innate thinking, he knew that God created him. There is no true atheist. If they were really telling the truth about things, the atheists would say, I'm lying.
That's right.
Hello. He would know that, he may not know that Jesus Christ did until he studied the scriptures, right? Like the Holy Ghost had us, but he would certainly know that God did. Mm-hmm. And then later on he'll find out that Jesus is who? Because he said, my Father and I are, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word
was God.
Hello, he'll find out it was Jesus who created him. Hello. Then he'll know him by name. And know that he went to the cross for him. So that verse, that phrase tell you and I that every atheist is a liar. Every agnostic is a liar. Because God has made it a part of our DNA table, our DNA tree. His spirit went in and designed it. And what's that little thing called? Is it laminate?
Yes.
That holds us together?
Okay.
No. And it's in the shape of what? A cross. The human body, our molecules, our cells cannot be held together without this thing called laminate. It's like glue in the body that hold all the cells together. And it's in the form of a cross. I think maybe God was putting his signature there.
I think so.
Woo! God be the glory. Look at Jesus. That's why we like to go, go Jesus, go Jesus, go Jesus. You got it, bro. You go, Lord. Okay. Pastor Phil dancing. Y'all better stop that. God be the glory. But do you understand what's happening here? Anytime you begin to feel down about yourself, go back and look at the Holy Scriptures and see where they will point you to. Lord Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 39, you search the Scriptures and you think you have eternal life in them. He said, but it is they who testify of me. Meaning, Jesus said, they point to me. That's some good stuff. Why the Lord be busting them Pharisees wide open? I love the witness that goes, yeah, that's my Lord. That's my King. Look what he's doing. Bust your bubble, buddy. Now, see how bad you are now. I know I'm just lit up today, boy, and I ain't even smoke a joint. Yeah, the only joint I'm going to smoke are the pages of this Bible. Amen. They go, what's wrong with that prayer? He ain't smoke a joint. Yeah, the joints of the pages of the Bible. Okay, join them together, and you get the Word of God. And so, as we're looking at this extraordinary event take place, and I would have loved to have been Moses as God is reciting this to his mind, and Moses is writing this down. Can you imagine being the first human to record history like this? What that must have been like? Man, I imagine at the time Moses was probably ready to get up and dance. And other times, can you imagine the atrocities that man were committing? And he had to record this? Think about the flood. What that have been like for him. And other times the national rebellion against God at the Tower of Babel. I mean, we are looking at absolute history being made by God upon the human race. It never occurred before Clinton. And the next thing God does after he creates man, in verse 8 he tells you that he makes a garden. He makes paradise. So not only did our Father make us in his image and in his likeness, not only did he give us control, authority over everything, and not only did he put his spirit in us and make him just like him, but he turned around and gave us the best place to live on the planet.
Amen.
With the best food. Do you see that? Hey, Clinton, do you have nice rivers running through your house? And by the way, one of them got gold. It's here's the present. It had gold. I mean, really nice gold. Yeah. You got any gold in your house?
No.
Oh, no, you don't, because we see your house. You don't have any gold. I don't have any gold. I got children. Okay. But can you imagine what this paradise must have looked like? The things that man lost. Okay. And not only that, But as we look at it very closely over in the next chapter, in chapter 3, it tells you and I that God came in. He will come in and he will walk and talk with man. But this time, on this one occasion, as he goes in the garden, man is doing what? He's hiding. Why? Because in verse 6 it tells you and I they had done something that they weren't supposed to do. Okay? They had sinned by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And so God does something. As the Holy Ghost taking us back, Lord Jesus said, they need to know, they need to be reminded constantly, not only of the cross, okay? Because paradise represents the cross, somebody. Mm-hmm. It reminds us of what we lost.
A baby.
Okay? Paradise reminds us what we have, and paradise reminds us of the penalty, the price that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to pay for us. They both pointed to each other. That's what you had. That's what you lost. And this was the price for it. So yes, they go hand in hand. Okay? And so there, God, for the first time, starting at verse 15, in chapter 2 there, God does something so amazing. Okay? What does he do that's amazing? This young 16-year-old may ask. God says, I'm going to give you a prohibition. Okay? I'm going to see if you can follow some rules. You see that tree? Look in the garden. You see all these trees? They're for you. Except that one in the middle. Okay? Excuse me. What does that remind you of, Chrissy? The middle. What does that remind you of? The man in the middle. On the cross. The tree. And the man in the middle. On a tree. This one is bad business. This one is bad business. You weren't supposed to go to either one of them. You seeing it? You leave the tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. Because if you left it alone, that tree wouldn't have had to exist. Called the cross. Hello. You really think God was going to leave out this portion for you? About being thankful? Because had Adam and Eve obeyed, right there, they had everything. They made in God's image, God's likeness. They had control. They were able to make babies. They were able to have the best place there is. And to top it off, they had the Spirit of God in them. They had it all. But God said, don't you dare mess with that tree to go eat from it. Don't you dare pick that fruit and bite it. Because the day that you do it, something's going to happen, and this is the something. You're going to surely die. Oh God, what does that mean? Oh, you don't need to know. What you need to be concerned with is don't you eat it. The best thing is to stay away from it, but God didn't tell them they couldn't go to it. He told them that they couldn't eat from it. And that old slicker boy, he knew that. Huh? He knew that. But Adam had something on him that the devil didn't want. Hello. Anytime the enemy stepped foot on the earth, Adam had control of him. Mm-hmm. Because this baby belonged to Adam. God gave it to him and Eve. Anytime an angel stepped down here, Adam said, what you doing? Oh, I'm here to give you a message, okay? He had the authority to challenge them. So when the serpent came and was acting ugly, he had the thought, said, what you doing? Why are you acting like this? You know God said not to. Now get your butt on out of here. How many of us forget about that? Jesus Christ on the cross reinstated that authority. He said, in my name, you can cast out who?
Demons.
In my name, you can raise what?
Dead.
Uh-huh. In my name, you can lay hands on the what?
Sick.
And they shall what?
Recover.
Woo! And Gabriel standing back going, uh-huh. You go, Jesus. You go, Jesus. He gave it back to him. But there was a price to pay. By messing with the tree in the middle, it caused him to go to the tree in the middle. In order to give the dominion back. In order to reinstate the image. In order to put us back in the likeness of the Father. So the Holy Ghost came back. You remember when God blew dirt into his breath into the dirt? Well, we were nothing but dirt until the Holy Ghost came back. And re-entered us on the day of salvation. Yes, Lord. Do you see this now? I told you I did not prepare for this. This is the Lord's doing. We got one shouting. Amen, brother. That's right. Amen. And so, here we are. God done something so marvelous. We all like to think about, I didn't have a house, God gave me a house. I didn't have a car, God gave me a car. Didn't have money in the bank, all of a sudden there's $100 in the bank. We like to think about things like that, right? And God occasionally do those things for us. But the greatest thing he did for us took place one night at a small shepherd town called Bethlehem. And there the angels of God, whom God commissioned to be there that night in the heavenlies, standing by waiting on God's command. As that stable lit up that night, and there the master came through the birth canals of a woman and entered this world. The glory of God lit up that night. Yes, Lord. And the angels were waiting for the word, but looked over and saw the glow. They saw the glory. Hello, somebody. Come on, stay with me. They saw the glory and they knew that was their cue. Because God had already given them the message. Uh-huh. Hello, somebody. And that night, outside of Bethlehem, out in the field, some old rugged shepherds, stinking, tired, and may even been hungry, watching over their sheep that night. And all of a sudden, one of the heavenly beings showed up. Unknown to the sons of Israel who was in that field that night, because they were sons of Israel, biding in that field, didn't know that they was going to get the greatest news that man had ever received on the face of the earth. Stay with me just for a few more moments. That night, in that field, when an angel showed up, and it could have been Gabriel, and it may have been Michael himself. It doesn't tell us. But that night, when the angel suddenly appeared, those men knew that it was someone greater than themselves had just showed up. Because the angel had to tell them what? Do not fear. You'll know when God sends you a messenger. Okay? And so, what did he tell them? Born unto you this day in the city of David is Christ the Lord. And you know what? You got to understand the sons of Israel, those shepherds. Because all we'd like to know them by is shepherds, right? They were sons of Israel. Why is this important? Because they have been taught all their lives that the Messiah is coming. Whoa, are you hearing me? They have been taught all their lives. Their fathers have been taught. And their fathers' fathers have been taught that God was sending the Messiah. They knew it from the tales of the prophet Isaiah. For a virgin shall be with child, and she shall call his name what? Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. So they've been waiting for more than 700 years. That story has resounded throughout the generations that God was going to send the Messiah. And that night, outside the city of Bethlehem, that angel showed up and said, he's here. Can you imagine the sons of Israel that night? Woo! You remember when you was waiting on your baby, Emily, to be born? And when you gave birth to her, you remember laying eyes upon her the first time? You remember your firstborn? Your firstborn? Oh, you didn't have a firstborn, so hush. You remember your firstborn?
What?
You remember your firstborn? Okay, you remember whatever it was that went through you when you looked at that baby. You remember Zohar? You remember that? And I imagine our moms, Clint, when they looked at us, what they felt. When they got that good news that your baby is healthy, your baby's here. But my mom didn't get the good news about her baby was healthy. They go, we don't know if he's going to make it. That was about me. And for the next 6 weeks, it was a struggle of life and death for that little baby. But not for this baby. Huh? Not that baby in the stable in Bethlehem. The angel said, he's here. And here's the thing, as we get ready to close out. The angels knew the true identity of the baby. They knew he's more than just Christ the Lord. They knew what that meant. I mean, and they didn't give it away either. You notice that, right? They didn't tell him God's in the stable. Woo! Glory! Can you imagine what those shepherds would have done that night? Woo! What? What did you say? God's in the stable. You better go see him. Man, God is so good, isn't he? Those sons of Israel that night got the greatest news. In fact, God was in the stable. He had just watched his son being born. And Lord Jesus was there. It was an amazing thing. And for the next 33 and a half years, the world was privileged with his presence. And that baby would grow up to be a man and give the greatest sacrifice that a human had ever given. And no other human has never been talked about more than that baby. No other baby has ever gotten attention. The baby Jesus has gotten throughout the generations, hasn't he? And no other man, you notice now? Jesus still getting attention as a baby, is he not? And yet as a man, no other man has never gotten attention that Jesus, the Son of God, is still getting. Do y'all want to talk about being thankful? His work on the cross for salvation ended that day, but his work for you and I is still going on in heaven. But Paul says there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, meaning that he's still interceding, he's still pleading our case before God every day, every day, every day. The writer of Hebrews also says, without ceasing, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, continues to intercede for us. You don't believe me? You can look at it later. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it tells you, without ceasing, he never stopped talking to God about us. And that's amazing. So you want to be thankful about something? You think about the baby that was at the meeting, the prayer meeting in heaven that took place. Well, really wasn't a prayer meeting, but just it was a CEO meeting of the universe. When God said, let us make man in our image, and the baby was there as God. Huh? You think about that. And it was the baby that came down and formed the dirt into what we see today. And blew his own spirit into it. And it was the babies throughout the ages left clues that we call the Word of God that says, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. Into that night in Bethlehem. And you know what? When Luke records in Acts chapter 1 what took place on that hillside in Jerusalem, after he told them what was going to take place, what to look for in the future, he said, not many days from now. Something else great getting ready to happen to you humans. Are y'all hearing me? He says, something else is going to happen to you. Because you remember the dominion part that they had given us in the beginning? Remember said, let them have dominion over this? Uh-huh. He said, you shall receive power. What's power? That's dominion. Uh-oh. When the Holy Ghost come what? Upon you. The Holy Ghost brought the dominion back with him. So when we got power in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost goes to work. You want to be thankful for something? You thank God for Jesus. Okay? Because the baby has been here all along. He's God. He's not a baby. He's sitting on the throne. Okay? Want something to be thankful for? You be thankful to God for God.
Amen.
And my God said to my God, he has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than his companions. Woo! I could go on and on and on, but some tell me I better shut it off. Amen. So you see today, as these United States get ready to prepare for Thursday, a time in which men will pat each other on the back and say thank you and give gifts to each other and put spoons in each other's mouths and fill the bellies. Here's the real thing to be thankful for. God and God alone. You hear me? And his son Jesus. That's why when you read now, when you look at Psalms 8, it says, and O Lord, our Lord. Don't look at it that way anymore. We look at it now as what? O Yahweh, our Master. How excellent is your name in all the earth. There it is. And his name is what? Jesus. Yes, Lord. It's always good to see my good friends back in the back, Melvin and his son Duke. Don't they look alike? Bunch of twins. To God be the glory that they're here. Every head bow. Father, we thank you now for your glorious son, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, thank you for giving me this message, because I didn't know what to do today. But you did. And when you set me there today and you said, take them back. And I said, how far? You said, way back. Lord, they heard your word. And I pray now that they're giving you thanks in their hearts. Because the greatest gift to man is Jesus. And the greatest gift we can give back to you, Lord God, is ourselves to your Son, Jesus. And I pray now, Lord, that every person here has done that. And if there's something that they're struggling with, Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name, they will surrender it to you. Have your way now, Lord, as we celebrate in this country Thanksgiving. And our gratitudes for that better be to you. Thank you now, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand up and dismiss us there. You can tell Miss Nelson we're finished. So you see, if you listen to the Holy Ghost, you can do all things.
All right, everybody, bow your heads with me, please.
He's going to dismiss us.
Jesus, we want to thank you for you. We want to thank you for helping us with everything we ever need. And we would like to ask that you just be with us through everything outside of here. It's in your name that we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.